Matthew chapter number 26. Get my water away. Now much in the hat. All right, very good. Matthew 26. Glad you're in church today. We're having some issue with our internet, so some of our people maybe watching online might not get it. I don't know. But I'm glad you're here, and man, it's good to be open. Good to open up the Word of God, and I'm good, Sam. I'm good. Thank you. Son extraordinaire, may I just say. Love him. He was on his way out to the kitchen. If I do start choking violently, we did take our CPR class yesterday, and there's 15 to 18 of us certified in CPR, so I feel good about that. Let's pray and we'll get started here this morning. Heavenly Father, we sure do need your help. Lord, I am so thankful for your grace. Lord, as we heard in our Sunday school class, and God, to know you is to have met grace. God, thank you for that. Thank you that we can see it in just about every page of this book. Lord, I pray that today would be no different. Lord, that we would see ourselves in this passage. Lord, that we would see you. And God, we would be closer drawn to thee, Lord. Lord, again, thank you for how wonderful you are to us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's certain words that just kind of, not curse words, but I'm saying there's words that you just don't ever want to be tied to. The word traitor. That's an ugly word. It's the opposite of someone who is loyal. And I may say the more we love loyalty, the more we hate a traitor. Hey, we live in a hard world, and it is expected, unfortunately, that men would be shot by their enemies. But only a cynic would expect to be shot by his friend. And few things hurt more than to be betrayed by a friend. As we follow another path to Calvary today, we are going to follow the path of Judas. And for years, 2,000 years, we've been, may I say, perplexed by a question. And if you've read the scriptures and if you read about the disciples and we see all the different names and we see how they interact and we come to Judas, early on even in the Gospels, before he ever betrays the Lord, he's identified as the betrayer. And we read that and go, Lord, what were you thinking? Like, what was he thinking? It's one of those questions, why would you call someone to the team that's going to stab you in the back? Why plant the tree in the garden, right? I mean, why? Lord, I got questions. And when we look at the life of Judas, sometimes I feel like it generates more questions than almost answers. And again, over the last 2,000 years, believers had found it very difficult to understand not just even what happened, but the mind of Judas. You know, if Christ was not going to resist the evil man, then Judas leading the soldiers to him was really no major issue. But as I read about what he did, you know, anyone who had known Christ with such intimacy, who had lived with him, who talked with him, who walked with, we see people that are just touched for a moment, a moment in interaction with Christ, and they want to go and tell everybody. My life has been changed. Imagine walking around with Christ for 3 years, 3.5 years. All the things that you saw, all the word. The Bible says that the books could not contain all that he did. Imagine being firsthand seeing that. There must have been time when it was just Jesus and Judas talking. An intimate conversation. They must have eaten together. Judas certainly has watched him. Then how could he, again, the perplexity of it, how could he do such an act? For 30 pieces of silver. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. Matthew 26, 14. Did I tell you? Are we all good? We're good? Okay, I hear pages turn. Matthew 26, 14. Can I tell you, I love the sound of pages turning. That's so wonderful. If you're here at church, you're going to want to bring your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we have some in the pews. It's one of the blue books found in front of you. How'd I do, Brother Rice? Yeah, okay, good. We were working on it all week. And King James Bible, all right? Amen. That'll help you out. What are you doing? I don't know. If you don't have a Bible of your own, I'd love to give you one. I'd love to give you one. I think it's that important. It'll change the course of your life forever. If you're looking for truth, it's right here in your hands. Matthew 26, 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. This is the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Why 30 pieces of silver? One of the best types of Christ in our Bible, in the Old Testament, you'll see it over and over again, is the life of Joseph. Joseph was sold also for 20 pieces of silver in Genesis 37. But I want to draw your attention to Exodus chapter number 21. Why 30 pieces of silver? Exodus 21, written within the law in verse 31. Whether you have 21 in verse 32, I'm sorry. If the ox shall push a manservant or maidservant, he shall give unto the master 30 shekels of silver. That's what forgive the term, and I understand, but that's what a slave cost. That's what a expendable servant cost. If an ox ran over a person, the ox is put to death, and the person, the master gets 30 pieces of silver. But he was even more than that in Zechariah chapter number 11. I'll give you a minute to find Zechariah. If you don't find it, it's okay. I'll just read it to you. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 975, if that helps you. Zechariah chapter number 11 and verse 12, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price, look, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter a goodly price that I was prized at them of. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. 500 years about before Christ ever showed up, it was spoken that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Seems disproportionate for someone that did so much good and so right. I read a lot of different accounts of 30 pieces of silver. Some people said it was 120 days' wage. Some people said it was just a few dollars, even still. Son of God. So the question is, why do you do it? You know, intellect will sometimes
lead us astray. Say, what do you mean? We may think something, but not be backed by Scripture. And a lot of people have a lot of reasons of Judas. Judas, number one, the reasoning behind why he might have done this. Number one, he was a patriot. He thought Jesus was in danger to the nation and betrayed out of the love for Israel. And he was honestly, he made an honest mistake in judgment. That's not true. It sounds nice, but it's not true. That's not what the Scripture says. Well, maybe he was just impatient. Maybe the thought of this, Judas being the impatient disciple. Christ can get out of any situation. He fed thousands with just a few loaves and fishes. Every sick person, every hurt person that came to him, he healed no problem. Jacob, all they had to do was even touch the hem of his garment. He saw a dead man rise from the dead and had dinner with him. Maybe he had the confidence that the Lord could easily deal with those that wanted to take his life. Putting Jesus in peril would simply compel him to display his sovereign power. Yeah, that's a good thought, but it's not right. Maybe Judas was wavering in his conviction. Maybe this isn't the Messiah. Maybe he started listening to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the questions that were presenting to Christ that this man was not the Messiah. And maybe Judas was asking those same questions in his own heart. Let's put Jesus to the test. If he was an imposter, he would get what he had coming to him. Again, interesting thought, just not backed by Scripture. Hey, don't let intellect chase you out of the Scriptures. There's no conflict between the Scriptures and science. Say, I like science. Oh, great. You'll love the Bible. I like history. Great. You'll love the Word of God. Why? Because it's 100% accurate. My children... A couple of them now attend college, and they have to buy textbooks, college textbooks. You thought paces were expensive. You should try buying college textbooks. And every year, they have to come out with a new edition. Why? Well, maybe it's money-making. Maybe it's because their material has changed. Isn't it nice that we have a Bible that hasn't changed? The Word of God hasn't changed. What God says still stands. Praise the Lord for that. So if you want to reason yourself out of the Scriptures, you're going to get yourself in trouble. How about this? God, what do you say about things? Why wouldn't we trust someone that has been right every single time? 100% all the time. Not like, wow, he just passed there. He was like an 80 and a half. No, he 100% all the time. Unfortunately, those reasonings, again, do run contrary to the Bible. And the things that we know from Judas, the things that we know about Judas are found in the Gospels. And there are some dark things. To understand his character, we must examine the evidence. John chapter number 12 and verse 6. You know what he's called there? He's not called a patriot. He's not called an impatient. He's not just... wavering a bit in his convictions. No, the Bible says in John chapter number 12 and verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. There's many that would like to shed a positive light on the path of Judas and say, he was just misunderstood, just negative connotation all the time. Hey, give the man a break. Bible called him a thief. Bible called him a thief. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter number 26. In verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. The verse doesn't end there. It had been better for that man if he had not been born. Ooh, those are some strong words. So what was the truth about Judas Iscariot? Who is this man that we call Judas Iscariot? Not too often do we find children. Oh, what a lovely son. What's his name? Judas. Ooh. For the last 2,000 years, that name, I know there was another Judas then, may I say, going forward, we name our children John and Philip and Stephen and probably the Nicholas. I mean, it's just good names in the scriptures. Matthew, where's Bud? Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's the Mooberry family, right? I mean, that's like Matthew, Mark, Luke. He named all their kids. Anyway, where's Judas? Jezebel, right? I mean, there's just certain names. This is my daughter Beelzebub. Dorcas. I mean, I know that's a good name in the scriptures, but anyways, Judas. So who is this man called Judas Iscariot? Well, I'll say this. His surname places him as one of the only disciples out of the 12 out of Judah. Everybody else was from Galilee. That means when he entered the group, he talked a little bit different. Where's Miss Frediani? Is she not here? Sick. Brother Naparella's with us. He's been spending some time down in Tennessee now. Are you all right? You feeling good?
Yeah.
And that's how Judas. Maybe he never felt part of the group, but just by that, but I'm sure they could overcome that. Who was he? He was the banker. You know, when we take our missions trips, and this just works out, and I hate to bring this to light in light of this, but may I say, it works out well, and Jesus did this. This is following the pattern of Jesus. When we take our missions trips, we collect all the money, keep it all together in one spot, and then I just pay for everything. It helps people from having to buy things and carry a lot of money around, right? So just one person has the money, and it just makes it easier when you bring a group somebody somewhere, and it's not like 20 individual purchases. It's one big purchase, and sometimes we get discounts, and we do it like that. It's just one, and that's kind of how Jesus was. Judas was in charge of the bag, it says. Maybe he had some experience in doing so. Go back to John chapter number 12. Who was Judas? Number one, he was a banker. John chapter number 12 and verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Life is easy when there's endless funds. Gets a little tense when... Remember when they first came out with those automatic, you didn't give your card to the cashier. They just scanned they had the little thing right there, and you put it in yourself. Wegmans kind of had it. I don't know why, out of all the billion sounds in this world, when you put your credit card in, it was, and that was the good sound. That was the, like, everything went, but every time, sometimes you hear that, and it's like, yeah, I know. Hey, times are tough sometimes. And Judas keeping track of all this, and he had the bag, and he's like, hey, we could have given this to the poor. Maybe looking inside, that wasn't his intention. In John chapter 13 and verse 29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Judas was in charge of the money. He was the banker. He was the accountant that turned embezzler. And he would hide his greed under the cloak of piety. Look at chapter 12 again, and look at verse 5. Look at his response. He was a thief, the Bible said, but he says things like this. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He's trying to cover up his greed with this holiness and he was a thief. A thief in charge of money is a dangerous combo. Who was Judas? He was a banker. Go with me to John chapter 12. Look at verse 12. They just had the supper at Bethany. They had dinner with Lazarus. Say, what's the big deal? Chapter 11, he was dead. Chapter 12, they're having dinner with him. Pretty amazing. Christ is entering into Jerusalem, as he said in verse 12. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast were, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees. That's what we would call kind of like that Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday before the resurrection. Took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written. Hey, I want you to think about this. Maybe Judas had this venture when he got in with Jesus that things were going to go a certain way. But look at now. And he says this, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first. But when did they get it? But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered. Hey, Judas never had that chance. Judas left this world thinking, this thing isn't working out. I thought there was going to be a kingdom. I thought this is, here we are towards the end. Maybe he just looked at it and said, I'm just going to get as much as I can for this. If it's 30 pieces of silver, so be it. And it just wasn't working out as he had thought. So he would choose to betray him. Go to John chapter number 6. Number 1, he was a banker. Number 2, a broken business. Number 3, a betrayer. Man, I'd rather be a embezzler than a betrayer. And not that any are good. But that word, betrayed. Because to be a traitor and to betray somebody is someone that put their trust in you. It wasn't just that he did a foul act towards someone that he never had known. No, he did it toward a friend. John chapter number 6 and verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew. But yet Judas still acted in his own, for his own reasons. He was not chosen to betray him, but he knew that he would. Do you see the difference? Go back to Matthew chapter number 26. Christ is praying in the garden. This is towards the end. And in verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray us. And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came. Christ identified him as one of the 12. And with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master. And kissed him. Look at these sad words. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Betrayed. Traitor, betrayed by one of his own. Who was Jesus? Judas. He was just misunderstood. No, Christ himself calls him a betrayer. That's exactly who he was. He was a thief. How does it go for him? Chapter 27. In verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Chapter 27 and verse 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and Judas. Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, the thief, which had betrayed him. He saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. They're like, we got what we wanted. The Bible says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Couldn't deal with the guilt. Couldn't deal with what he was looking at. Hey, I've sold out innocent blood. I've betrayed a friend. I've made a terrible mistake. Here, I want it back. Ever try and return something at the store? Buy something, get it home. You had great expectations. It looked nice on the model there. And you get it home and it's like, well, this isn't my cut. You take it back and they give you your money back. That's what Judas tried. Here's your money back. I would like Jesus. I would like Jesus back. And they're like, get out of here, kid. We got what we wanted. And Judas couldn't handle that. He hung himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. See, that's strange. That's what Zechariah said. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. What a sad story. That would end with his own death. I was telling Sarah, I said, last week we studied the Pharisees. This week we're going to study Judas. She's like, when does the happy stories come out? I said, well, there's certainly something that we can take away from this. The application here for us today. So I'm no Judas. Well, hold on a second. Is it possible for you to live around Christ and then walk away? This was one of the closest and still chose to walk away. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll look at some warnings. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. You ask a lost person. They know Jesus. And they know the story of Judas. He isn't famous, but he certainly is infamous. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 27. This is Paul speaking. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself, what? Should be a castaway in 1 Corinthians 9:27. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Paul gives two warnings within one chapter of each other. Hey, pay attention. Be careful. Hey, there's a possibility that you could be really close to the things of God and yet just still walk away. Say, why did Judas? I don't know why anybody would walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you've been done wrong by some other people in real life, maybe a sister or brother or a cousin or a business adventure or whatever. But I promise you, you've never been done wrong by Jesus. But it's possible to be all around this stuff every single Sunday and yet still walk away. Paul says, hey, be careful. Be careful that you not walk away from what is true. You may be in, but yet still out. So what does that mean? It's possible to be in the church of God and not be a disciple in heart. Hey, we can't answer perfectly the intention of Judas Iscariot, but it is possible some here today do not have a serious commitment to Christ in their heart. And we can try and conceal our lack of loyalty under, much like Judas did. Why don't we sell this? He concealed his greed. And the same thing you and I can do. But that lack of loyalty is hard to hide during testing times. I'm going to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself a question. Am I really in this because of my love and devotion to the Lord? Will I stand the test when it comes? Hey, it is possible to walk away. It is possible to be in but out. It's possible to be overtaken with the power of money. Money is a useful and dangerous resource. People spend their whole entire life chasing after it. And all it is leading them away from the Lord. Again, useful, yes, but also dangerous. The Bible warns us, 1 Timothy 6:10, for not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What can we learn from Judas? It's possible to be around all the right things and not have a heart devotion for Christ. It's possible to be around all the right things, and yet in our mind, the first chance I get, I'm out of here. Hey, young person, think about that. It's possible to get totally consumed with money and neglect the things of God. Unfortunately, after the betrayal, Judas took his own life. Which makes me ask some questions. Had Judas not listened to know that the love of God would always meet repentance with a pardon? Didn't he know that? Hadn't he seen that? What if instead of going to that field that day, instead of hanging himself, if Judas went to the cross instead and threw himself at the feet of Jesus and asked for forgiveness, what do you think he would have found? Christ said this in Luke 23:33, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they met. They crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And this is what Jesus says about the very men that just nailed him to the cross. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. This was the great error of Judas. Instead of coming to Christ for repentance, he took matters into his own hands. And instead, you know what he never found? The grace of God. The forgiveness of God. Hey, maybe you're here this morning and you're wrestling with the sins of your past that God can never forgive you of what you've done. And I'm just going to handle this. I'm going to try and drink this thing away. I'm going to try and run from this. I'm going to try and make enough money. I'm going to try and please myself to deal with the guilt. And you might even get to the place where I can't live anymore. Hey, can I encourage you today to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, there is no limit to the grace of God. Listen to this. Go to 2 Corinthians 9:8. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Yes, it could have changed the course of Judas. Hey, he wasn't the only one that betrayed him. Remember Peter? But Peter didn't take matters into his own hands. When he saw Christ, and Christ, when Peter looked at Christ, and Christ looked at him, Peter says he wept. Felt the same exact thing. He didn't know about Judas. He thought he was talking about him. May I introduce you to the book of Acts? Oh, the first, what, 8 to 10 chapters, Peter is being used by God. Forgiveness is found. The grace of God is found. And I dare say the same thing would have been available to Judas. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hey, please know that the grace of God can unroot that strong and deep root of bitterness. That guilt that Judas felt that day. Hey, that guilt you feel today, understand that the grace of God can undo that and forgive you. That you would experience the love of God. Romans 5:2, I love this verse. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hey, maybe there are some days in your Christian faith where you feel like I can't even stand. Hey, can I introduce you back to the grace of God? Don't give up. God's got something to stand on. It's His grace. 2 Timothy 2:1, last verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Judas checked out ever long before he had an opportunity to see the grace of God. Let's just play this out differently. There he is with the 30 pieces of silver. He tosses it in the temple and he goes up to the upper room and he's sitting over in the corner all by himself. Thomas is gone. What would that? Oh, I wish I could have read that story about how Christ forgave Judas. The minute he comes through the wall and Judas just throws himself at his feet, I'm so sorry. And he says, it's okay. Look, I'm here. It's all right. Way too many people have ended their life long before ever getting to the forgiveness and the grace of God. Because they were overwhelmed by their sin. Hey, bring it to Jesus. Just throw yourself at His feet and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. Would you forgive me? You'll find a pardon. The grace of God that is limitless. Let's all stand. Maybe you're in the church house this morning, greatest place to be right now, but you're not really in. Maybe you're here, but your devotion to God, hey, tomorrow morning I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. Can I encourage you to stop playing the game of Christianity? Stop trying to conceal your hidden sin and just come to God and get right and get real. Please do not limit God's forgiveness. If you've done wrong, if you have sin in your life, please understand that God would have been able to forgive Judas. He can forgive you. Would you come to Him? Would you come experience the grace of God? Say, I'm too much of a man. I've sinned too much. Hey, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It is the key. It is the building block of salvation. For by grace are ye saved. It's a gift. Say, I don't deserve the grace of God. Judas never would have deserved the grace of God, but would have been extended to him. That's what a gift is. So this morning, I don't know what the Lord's dealing with in your heart. Maybe you want to come and ask the Lord to save you. Maybe you want to ask the Lord to forgive you. Hey, maybe you've been peripheral. Maybe you've been, I make it look all right. I dress up right. I carry my Bible underneath, but my heart isn't right. Hey, you know that. Why don't you come get right? Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this invitation now. God, the same errors and the same things that Judas did, Lord, I can see possibility for us doing also. Lord, we come to you needy of your mercy, needy of your grace. God, thank you that you abundantly pardon. Lord, I ask you, bless this time of invitation now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?